The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
You to Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out our two brand new products. Number one is called the Winner's Circle. This is 12 audios. They're a minimum of about 35 minutes each audio, which will take you from the beginning of where I started out right through to whether it's power rack training, overloading, dead stop training, high shrugs, pullovers, dips, thick bar training, sandbag training, stone training, you name it, it's there. And it's not going to stop there because this is going to be a program that is going to keep growing. There's so many things that have even changed since we put that together, and I'm going to be filming lots of new stuff, but I'm going to be making more and more recordings. If it's not about new movements I'm doing or the way I'm putting them together, you're going to hear, just like we're going to be releasing Stewards of Strength. That'll be the 13th audio, and that's about 18 minutes long, but it really goes what we believe in here. If you listen to the show near the end, it'll always say Stewards of Strength, but I go a little further, and we talk about being the gatekeepers of strength, that there's many of us, and I think everybody that's involved with the show is a true believer in that, and strength can be measured in many ways. We talk about it on there. So this is going to be an ongoing program. Next, we have, I think, probably one of the most premier products out there besides Winners, Etched in Stone. We've joined up with a number of people in the medical profession, also naturopaths. Also, we have people that martial arts, but come out with, we have Dale Dugas. I think his liniments are the best stuff I've ever used. So we're hooked up with Dale. We're hooked up with Dr. William Wong. We're hooked up with Dr. Jeffrey Smith, who's a medical doctor in Arizona. Of course, we got Dory Peterson, who is an RN and a nutritionist down in the Carolinas. And it grows and grows and grows. And I got into this program 15 years ago. I mean, we are using mainly sandbags and stones. There is rack work, there is body weight work, but I can't tell you, three movements that I feel really deliver the knockout punch are in that program, and I had to go to that program because when Dennis came here, he was 271 pounds, and he looked like he was pregnant. He was so big in the stomach. He's had a lot of health issues, and he has a lot in his family. To make a long story short, 271, they had a child, so he's been out the last few weeks, but he was down at that point in 6 weeks, down to 237, and the majority of that came from that high-end sandbag work. A little bit of stone work, but the sandbag work, when you don't do it correctly and you know how to metabolically get this going, it will do major, major things to you. So this product caters to men in their late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And with the medical staff we have on here, we can get you anywhere you want to go. And that's why I did it that way, because it allows me to train people, and we lend the best to all the other people involved here. And it's going to be a hell of a revolution with that program. The next thing that's coming is going to be the women's end of Etched in Stone. And we got four of the best women, I feel, in the universe going to be partaking in that. We've already started some stuff with the kids. I'm going to have a major program out by the end of the summer. It's just I have to wait for one individual who, in my opinion, is probably one of the best people out there to work with me on this. It's all written. You talk about a revolution. This thing is going to revolutionize everything when we're done with it. And it's going to coincide with Motivation and Muscle, I feel, is going to be a national show within the next 2 years. So we aren't sitting on our hands, as they say, resting on our laurels. And I will say this, M&M right now, even though a little over 2 years, is just too big to ignore. So I'm telling you, we are getting out there. So check those two out. And I'm telling you right now, the investment you make in yourself is better than any other investment. I don't care if it's cars, houses, whatever. If you don't have your health, you're not doing anything, ladies and gents. So look into that. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Mike T. Nelson on with us today. Just go out and look at the shows I've done with Mike. And that's what I'm saying. The majority of people have been in here either from the beginning, which is over 2 years, or at least a year and a half, and we have loads of shows, and they're free. Most people are not giving this type of content away for free, but we do because we hope you'll come in and look at the products and purchase them and get involved in whatever else we're in. And obviously, people like Mike and anybody else, you go out and give their stuff a look, and maybe you work with Mike. But that's the idea of it, to work with one another, build tentacles, build good lasting relationships that go on for years and years, and that's what we're all about here. And let me think, is there anything else before I go in? I don't think that's it, but I got to give you a little information on Mike before we bring him in. Number one, Mike has a PhD in exercise physiology, a BA in natural science, and an MS in biomechanics. He is an adjunct professor and a member of the American College of Sports Medicine. Mike has been featured in international magazines, in scientific publications, and on websites across the globe. And when I'm going to bring him in momentarily, but we're going to talk about the reasons why you lift. Now, before we even open our mouths, I'm sure people are going to be like, well, I've heard this before. No, you haven't. And you're going to hear, I'm sure, I can't speak for Mike, but I've seen enough of Mike out on Facebook to kind of get a grasp right now what he's doing a little bit. And I'm going to tell you what I'm doing a little bit, and I'm going to tell you the real reasons I lift, and it's not just to lift iron and stone. Mike, welcome back, brother.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on the program again. Greatly appreciate it.
Well, you're more than welcome. Anything I missed, websites, anything else you'd like to add to your bio, take it away, and we'll start right up on today's subject.
Yeah, if people want to find me, they can find me on the website at miketnelson.com, and I have an offer there that includes a program and nutrition lifestyle components. I can just go to miketnelson.com/muscle. It's miketnelson.com/muscle. Or if they're on their phone, since a lot of people listen to podcasts on their phone and they're walking around, they can just text 44222 and text the word muscle. So 44222, text the word muscle, and we'll get you all signed up.
That's the only way to fly. Have lots of muscle. All right. You know, we had talked about this off air a little bit. You seem pretty excited about it, like myself. You know, I know everybody thinks this is very simplistic, but it seems like in today's age, we'll leave it to building muscle, building strength, obviously the mental attitudes, all that. Simplicity, I think, now is just very overlooked, taken for granted. We're more in a phase, this is me talking, from what I see, things are a little bit way too overdone. We need a little bit too much of this, that, and the other thing to get it done. And when it comes down to it, I feel a lot of the majority of people, yeah, they might have all the components, watching the film, buying the programs, talking to principal people. But, man, when it comes to going and out and doing it, we are shallow. We are falling short on what we need to do. So take it away, Mike. Why? What is it about you? You've been around a while. You've been lifting for a while. Give us a few reasons why you really like to lift.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of the obvious, you know, surface level stuff that everyone talks about, which, you know, is still important from, sure, you know, adding more muscle, metabolic health, just your ability to do different things, be healthy, look better, all those types of things. And I think all those are definitely important. If I really think about, to me, and I think, you know, some of the clients I've worked with for a long period of time, you know, what sort of drives someone to do this for, you know, years and then, you know, decades?
Yep.
I actually think that it's the ability to do some form of creation,
mm-hmm,
sort of the manifestation of your goals or direction that you want to go.
Yep.
And when you get to that point, you're actually talking about usually years in terms of accomplishing something, not just a couple months.
Yep.
And I think that it's the ability to do that and to kind of stay with the plan. And you can change your mind along the way, and maybe you have to take a few detours to get there. But I think it's having more of the long-term vision of, okay, 5, 10, 15 years, what is something that I want to achieve? And then I think the other part is to be flexible in your approach and less flexible on what it is you want to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think people then get into a problem where they want to do X, and the linear path, which rarely is anything linear, is just not working for them.
Right.
So they probably need to, take a little detour, whether if it's you're trying to increase your bench press, maybe you need to do more rows or something that on the surface doesn't appear to be directly related, but long term may be related.
Yep.
So for my example, for working on Denny stones, which I've been working on for a while, I had to take probably about a year and a half just to widen out my stance wider, because I was doing okay, but when I looked at the movement, a lot of it was coming more from my low back and not from my legs.
Right.
And I knew that from a mechanical standpoint, that's not going to be the most efficient, but it didn't work very well if I went to a wide stance. Just didn't feel very good. The movement looked horrible.
Yep.
So I took, it was about a year and a half actually of doing different movements, fixing up different things, so that when I came back, which I just did recently, I can lift easily from a much wider stance.
Yep.
So even though my lifts right now are still a little bit behind from where I was before, the potential I have now, because my mechanics are a lot better, I can do it, it feels better, are going to definitely help me in the future, and especially reduce the risk of injury.
Yeah, absolutely. Just speaking on the Denny stones, are you tempted to go over to Scotland and rip them off the ground?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely my goal. It's, right now, my stretch goal is by the time I'm 45, but definitely before I'm 50 is my goal. So,
well, maybe, yeah, maybe you can join us, because we're going to be doing, I hope, multiple tours over there in the next 3 years. I've gotten very friendly with a lot of people over there through Skype, and I think that between Charlie and Martin and James and all these other gents, they're just amazing people. Stevie Shanks, the guy's funnier than hell. And you look at Stevie, like his dad, Jack, he's no 301-pounder, let me tell you. Incredible. We got a new guy, Alex Roberts, that's joined. He's sending stuff all over the place from Scotland. And, he had laid off for a while, and he's back. And, it's just incredible. And we had a guy on the other day, Mike, this guy, Stephen Murray. Boy, you want to talk about accomplished. He got done writing a screenplay on Donald Denny. And I can't wait to get I can't wait to get this show up. These are people that are just unbelievable. And they are I don't know if I've ever dealt with people in the strength community like them, not only to witness the power they display, and they do some different things than I've done before, and this, that, and the other thing, and it's very inspiring to meet accomplished people, as you well know, especially in the strength field. And when we start talking about lifting stones and Denny's with the big rings and all the other stones that are famous out in Scotland, Iceland, Wales. And I've even said I'd love to go to Spain and do some stone lifting, Basque lifting there down the road. When I talk about why I want to lift, that's a whole bunch I just gave you right now without really going into specifics with myself. But it is very, very inspiring when you hear a guy like Martin Janzicks, who I feel, in my opinion, is probably one of the greatest stone lifters in the world, man. He is just unbelievable. And, we get talking like Stevie and all them, and it's always intriguing to say to him, I've said it on every show, how do you get stronger to lift for the stones? Well, I remember Stevie saying it, and he said it with no hesitation, Mike. It was this. One-handed dumbbell deadlifts, load them. Okay. Martin and I have talked. When he comes on, it's like a lot of the guys with the Stones or Steven Santangelo, Eric Gutman, any of these guys, I could literally be Skyping with them for 3 hours. You know, we do a show. Show's probably an hour minimum, but if it's like them or Dr. Wong, I had him on yesterday, I think we did an hour and a half show, and it felt like it was 10 minutes, literally. So to make a long story short, you know, Martin and I are always talking Stone philosophy, and I can't wait to get out there because he and I are going to go all over, but I'm going to train with a guy that's lifted everything. And you know damn well I'm going to be able to get pointers from him big time. So,
oh, yeah.
So he says to me, I say to him, you know, we're talking, building strength, blah, blah, blah. And it's real, this is, I think you're going to find this pretty interesting. I said, okay, so what are you doing? And he goes, I'll tell you two things I feel. Well, this was the first one, and we just talked about this two weeks ago. He says, I take a 500-pound tire out in the middle of nowhere where he's got it. Doesn't matter if it's day or night. If it's night, the car headlights are on or his work truck headlights are on, and he flips a 500-pound tire for an hour, as close to an hour straight as he can. Now, you got to think of the magnitude right there. A 500, okay. And you know how you know somebody's dedicated as hell, Mike? He'll tell me, and I laugh every time, goddamn battery dies on the car or truck. All right, now you know that's dedication, all right? You're out at night doing this. Then, you know, and these are all things that really kind of jiggle around in my head all the time. It's like I'm one of those guys that if you tell me something and I really think it's going to work, I'm going after it, and you're not going to get in my way. That's it, because I like things like that. And even if you're trying to throw me a curveball and I go out and do it, I'm still going to do it for the sake of doing it and see what happens. So then we get talking about sandbags, because all part of the etched in stone stuff we did, and Martin is going to be lending some video to the project. And I was telling him, you know, everything I've been doing and everything, and I've been now doing a lot of adaptation due to, you know, I don't know if we've ever talked before, but we will right now. Let me put it this way. Anthony DiTillo was the guy that got me started in power rack training. It was just going through the years and finding who these people were and ordering the books through Bill Hinburn, because obviously they weren't produced anymore long before my time. But I'll tell you what, Mike, you know, if you look at Anthony DiTillo, I mean, he's amazing, all right? And the power rack training and the dead stop training and every other thing was fostered through him and what I built and designed myself. So we're talking about all this stuff. And we're talking about the sandbags and the varying sizes and the adaptation. And I read a number of articles by DiTillo, and I've always been kind of a skeptic on a lot of this stuff where, you know, every day do this, that, and the other thing. But what I did is I've taken – now, today is a full-out training day, and that'll be this afternoon. I have a 50, 54, 68, 77, and a 92 sandbag sitting. They're all stacked on top of each other. And, you know, obviously we're doing the regular stuff, the big dead stop squats one day. We're doing the big DiTillo shrug pulls in the rack or off my big blocks outside. Obviously the Hoosa steel stones, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, we're going to go out and see what this does for like 10 days. So I go out any time of the day, depending on what's going on with the business. It might be at 5:30 in the morning when I get up, whatever. Go out. I do a old school York short bar warm up, which consists of a press. Let me think. A pull, a press, a pull. No weight on it. It's a 25-pound bar, but I'll do 5-6 rounds of, say, 15 reps, and we never stop doing them. And, man, you get a pump in your body like you wouldn't believe. From there, a little bit of light neck work with a plate, you know, over the end of the bench. From there, I'll take a curling bar, no more than 25 pounds, do 30 breathing pullovers, okay, which lights your whole system up. Then I go right to the sandbags. And what I'm doing with these sandbags, besides obviously these programs, I'm training myself with these sandbags to explode them just like I would with a rock. Now, people would say that's a very light weight. Well, I'll argue the point with you. A couple things. I'm really practicing in the power rack, and maybe you and I will talk about this offline. One of the most important things, obviously, is to be able to get your ass down as low as you can, because it's always going to help you with a stone, lapping it. But what I've been doing is similar to what they do with the inverse stone, is I've got myself so set up now and the pathway so clear that I can take anything right up to a 92. I can go from a 50 to a 92 probably quicker than you could blink your eyes. And I'm bringing it right up and I'm putting it overhead all the time. So I'll get to the whole point of the matter now. Martin says to me, if you can clean and press a 200-pound sandbag overhead. Now, folks, okay.
That's a big sandbag overhead.
Yes, sir. And I'm gonna go to you in one moment because I want to hear what you say, because you just about said what I thought you would. I've done a 114 last Saturday, and I'm going to tell everybody, at 301 pounds and not a weak guy, 114 tested my mettle like you wouldn't believe. I have not done that. Any of that stuff in years. I had to basically, it was so out of control, I got it over to my right shoulder and I had to let it sit there for probably 30 seconds before I could get it controlled back with the left hand and press it. And I did lock it out. All right. So I get done with that. But when he told me that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this, man, no matter what. I've got to do it. And I know it's just not going to happen, but it is moving and we're going to do some today. After those Dottilo shrugs, I call them, and we're going to see what happens. I might even go back and forth. It all depends. Now, to make a long story short here, I have multiple spheres. There's stuff that you don't even see in the garage that's covered, and I'm going to yank them all out. But I have a 183-pound granite stone. It's an Atlas stone that I bought like that. Very expensive. I don't like to have it dropped or anything because I don't want to have it chipped up. I've got a number of them. But if it happens, it happens. It's a stone. So this is right inside my Nautilus four-way neck machine, which is the first generation. Not a machine guy, but I think the first generation, I have four pieces. I think they're very quality. I have a seated press. I have the original pullover, and I have the original trap machine, too. They are very nasty things, let me tell you. So that stone I have to pull out every time because I got to be able to get my legs and feet in there and be able to do my four-way neck. So the stone is sitting like right out in the middle. It'd be right in front of my first power rack. There's a power rack to the right of that. There's a big plate tree, and obviously to the left of it is the Nautilus four-way. So I don't have a lot of room, very cramped. I didn't really want to roll it out there because I was done pretty much. I kept looking at the thing. I was like, you know something, I want to press this thing today. But I'd like to just see what happens when I rip it off the ground, because it's been over 2 years. I'll tell you, Mike, I pulled that thing with such ferocity, I hardly even had to do any type of bend to lap it. I put it up on my right shoulder, put it down, and I was done for the day. That is after about five workouts doing the sandbag work, this adaptation, and obviously the heavy rack work. I got to tell you, man, I'm a believer. And I mean a big believer in this. And I think these are movements that if you don't go nuts and you go out, what I do is go out and set the egg timer for 10 minutes. If I don't do that stuff that I just said in 10 minutes, I'm done. So what I'm doing every time is I'm building more and more aggression and ferocity. But what I'm doing is I'm teaching myself how to lap something light, come up with it, or just take the thing right off the ground, roll it up the front and press it. I'm telling you right now, folks, this will build the power, the strength, the vision, the mentality that maybe you haven't been able to find for the last 10 years of your training. There's going to be more about it, but I know I laid a lot of stuff out, Mike. Take your time. Agree, disagree. I'm very anxious to hear what you say. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts. I mean, I think just the more, you know, the whether you call it GPP or yep, whatever word you want to associate with it, work capacity, I think the more you can do those types of things that are kind of under your current capacity, right? So if we look at that with more of a U-stress model, where if a circle is kind of your limits, you're staying within the circle, but, you know, you're definitely doing a little bit more each day, right? Mm-hmm. So there's definitely an overload component. You're not just playing with your 5-pound pink dumbbell, hoping
that's right? Yeah.
So there is definitely a progression, but you're not necessarily testing your absolute limit every day either,
right?
So you can do things that the more intense they are, obviously you're going to need more time to recover from that. The less intense they are, you can do more volume. You can do things on a daily basis.
Yep.
And as you were explaining it, one thing that would be interesting, and I will admit that I haven't done this with stones or anything yet, but my buddy Cal Dietz talks about something called the French contrast method that he got from a coach named Giles Cometti. And the formal version has about 4 components to it. But if you really just boil down what the most basic principle is, and other people have talked about this too, is having a heavier lift and then very short rest, and then go to a very light explosive type lift.
Exactly.
So it'd be very interesting to see, like, on the day that you're, say, doing stones, right, and you're trying to, you know, work on speed and power, not necessarily absolute limit strength, to do the heavier stone work. Maybe it's a lap, maybe it's over a bar. And then with a very short period of rest, you know, 10, 20 seconds or less, then go and do like the more ballistic type lighter sandbag movement.
Yep.
Take complete rest and then go back and repeat that again.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you. I do a circuit I've never shown anybody. And this is going to, you just said some of the things I do. All right. There is some of it out on YouTube. We'll lift the first Hoose of Steel 1 out of the rack. So we might do it right at knee or below knee. That's going to be the major overload, because that stone is 240 pounds empty. Okay, so it's a beast. Obviously, we can load that. That stone can hold probably 600-700 pounds with shot and plates. No problem. All right, so we go from that. Then we go outside. I think I've got pictures of this up, but I should. We have those 6x6s buried right down through the frost line, which has multiple things on it. They have dip bars. They have the whole chain set up to hang the Hoose of Steel, and there's some other stuff for pec work, et cetera, on it. At that, I will hang the H3 from there, and the H3 is about 200 pounds right now. And I'll leave it there. Not unless things are so light, I might throw in maybe another 10 or 20. Then we've got the sandbags that I described there. Okay? And one thing I just want to, and I'll get right back to you, Mike, is, you know, the 92 is not going to stop there, folks. You know, you might see a 97 next, then 104. And like Mike said, you're not taking and frying your central nervous or your body. What you're doing is, and I'm going to let everybody know, I mean, I've never done things like this on off days, and I'm using it not only for recovery, but there's nothing like coming in from a body pump like that and moving at the speed of light, man. I mean, literally, all right? So something that might take somebody 40 minutes to do, I'm going to rip the whole thing apart in less than 10, all right? That's the point of it. But what I'm saying, from there, then we go and lift our sandbags. So you're getting super heavy, medium or a little below, and then you're going to a beautiful phase of sandbags that are going to bring your system up, not tear it down anymore. It's going to accentuate your training. Is that not why we do this? And then after that, guess what I'm doing again? I'm going and lifting a bigger H1 load. So I can constantly recover. And if my goal is going to be, no matter what size tire, to be able to flip this thing endlessly, maybe not an hour, maybe 15 minutes, but do as many as explosive tire flips in that time and do all the things with the sandbags and that goal of a 200-pound bag. Let me just ask you this, Mike, and before I finish this thought. You know how we're always, you know, let's face it. All right, some people want to stay where they are body weight, but get more muscular, stronger, more enduring. Obviously, have that mental trap, like a steel bear trap, where nothing defeats you no matter what happens that day or night. But do you realize what is going to come out of this? or anything you do that's similar to this, think about how big your body's going to get. Think about how strong you're going to get. I'll tell you one thing, what I've noticed more than anything doing this, my moods are like super great.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's no matter what happens, you never feel defeated. You always come up, like I wrote this on the blog today, you always come up with solutions. And I know I've had days here where I thought I was going to hang it up, literally. You know, when I start getting like that, unless there's a podcast coming up, I get up from here and I go outside. Even if I take a 50-pound sandbag and put it over my head 25 times and put it on the ground and come inside, it's gone. Go ahead, Mike. Take it off.
Yeah, on that aspect, I realized this, too. Once I finished my PhD, I got one of the early sort of Fitbit-type watches.
Yep.
And I put a little cover over it and didn't look at, you know, what I was doing for movement that day. It was an off day. I wasn't training. And at the end of the day, I had 538 steps.
Wow.
Which is utterly horrible. There's, yep. you know, yep. people who have hip replacements that walk more than that in a half hour in the hospital.
Yep.
And what I realized is that just the more light movement I did, just even simple, good old-fashioned walking, that the better mentally I felt.
Yep.
And if you look at some of the research, right, so for aerobic training, right, which you consider, you know, lightweight's kind of a form of aerobic training. There's different ways you can split that out. But you're definitely getting a cardiovascular component there. It's a little bit different than traditional cardio, but it's definitely there. And if you look in the research, you'll see different parts of the brain. So, for example, like the hippocampus, which yep. is very important for different functions. With aerobic training, that can actually sort of increase in volume. So you get better brain function. And what I've noticed over the past, you know, 3 to 4 years, just looking at the number of steps I get, if my step count is low for a couple days, usually my mental performance isn't nearly as good. My recovery nearly isn't as good. So I found that by adding low-intensity work, and you can expand that, like you were saying, with different velocity-based stuff,
sure.
different angles.
Yeah.
So for a while, I did something with the Viper, which looks like a really cheesy rubber strongman log.
Yeah.
And just to try to get different angles to do it in the kind of a circuit. I've done that with, you know, kettlebells, light stones, even tires, sledgehammers with ballistic stuff at different angles. I think that by just if people listening are looking for something practical to do, just take a, you know, 3 to 4 lighter implements. I would actually emphasize movements that they would not normally do.
Yep.
So, for example, if you're using a sledgehammer on a tire, try to go for more of an angle. If you're just doing bodyweight lunges, try playing around with 45-degree angles. Just to get a little bit different angles on your tissue.
Yep.
And then just, you know, put it together kind of an old school light circuit, you know, get your heart rate up. Shouldn't be anything that's incredibly challenging. And pretty much everyone that I've done that with on their off days, you know, they feel better. Obviously, you're burning some calories there too. And pretty much like you said, everyone across the board mentally says, wow, I just feel a lot better and I can go back and get more stuff done. And the recovery the next day is normally a lot better, too.
Oh, without a doubt. And I'll tell you one other thing. You know, when we talk about the reasons why, I mean, we just talked about the feel better. But I think all humans, whether they want to admit it or not, we do need we have a need for accomplishment. And I think a lot of things today have been stressed where that's not as important. You know, I think there's kind of I kind of see things in a light where a lot of human beings don't want to be pushed anymore. They, you know, for instance, yesterday, well, it's been out for a few days and maybe you've seen it. I mean, you talk about insane. They have the new pants out. I don't know who they're by, Abercrombie or one of them. You can go out in jeans. They get all muddy and they sell for $425. Now, yeah. Okay, and it went viral. Now, who in their right mind, okay? Hello, everybody. You listening? Who in their right mind would pay $425 for jeans that way? Well, I'll tell you who. I think there's a lot of people that like to put on the poser routine, as I call them, where they don't have the guts to go out and do it, but if they can find something that's going to make it look like they did it, they'd be more than happy to spend the $425. Now, to me, that's pathetic, but that's my own version, and I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me in today's world, but I'm sure I could argue right into the ground with something like that, but that doesn't matter anyways. You know, we do a thing here called the hard hat routine, and it really is an honor to do it and to honor a lot of our past men and women that have worked in industry, that have worked in warehouses, that did the industrial age, because, you know, we've lost a lot of that here in America. In my opinion, this could be a whole nother show for Mike and I to do. I've mentioned this multiple times. I think if we want to start getting a more healthy society, less kids who are diabetic, et cetera, we need to really return back to our roots of hand labor again. But that's another show. So what we do here is I have so many stones, and I think I've got them from like 5-8 pounds right up to around 440 outside. So what we'll do is we'll come up with the number of stones we're going to move for the day, and we'll take them from where they are and march them no more than like 20 feet and put them in a pile. But that pile's got to come back to where everything was. Now, I've had people say to me, what the hell is 20 feet? I love that, because then when they do it, by the time they're on the 10th stone, they're not lifting things as fast and as furious as they did. And when you've got to move those big concrete Husafell stones I built, one weighs around 330 and the other's 440. And I would say if you can't carry them in the beginning, you damn well better get those dragged over, because if you can't carry them, we've got to drag them or roll them. That's the deal that you handshake on when we do this. Let me tell you, folks, you want to know why you need a reason to lift? You want to get tough. You want to get strong. You want to get that skin strong and mean and rough. That's one of the prime movers we do here. Besides, we love to roll Atlas stones in front, like similar to a bear crawl, where you get down as low as you can. Or I do two things I love to do. I will drag them with my butt backwards. So I will be pulling it towards the front of my thighs and keep stepping back. Or what I do is, like, I pretend it's a basketball, and I take and keep going around and around in circles till I have to stop because I'm so dizzy. And I go both ways. So I'm telling you right now, those are some of the reasons why I lift. Those are the things that intrigue me. And the main thing I think in my whole career of training, I know that the engagement it gives me mentally. Now let me repeat this. The engagement this gives me mentally, I have never done a sport like, and it's not a sport, I'm not even going to call it a sport. I have never done any of the organized sports, baseball, football, I've played hockey, all that. Never has anything engaged me mentally like this stuff. Because I think that this is such a mental chore you have to deal with, more so than even the physical chore. Because let's face it, people say, well, it's just lifting weights. Really? Just lifting weights, huh? Okay. It's not just lifting weights. It's a mental, you have to turn yourself into a mental giant to become very successful, however you read your success. But with the stuff I like to do, and I've seen the stuff Mike's been doing as of late in the power rack, I'll go right to Mike, but I'll just say this because I can't speak for him. I think if Mike wasn't going to be a mental giant with this, Mike, especially with the power rack stuff he's doing right now, I think he'd be out of the race pretty quickly. So go ahead, Mike, take it.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. I mean, I think that just when you're talking about work capacity in general, I think is lost on a lot of people. And yep. Unfortunately, it's not getting better. One thing I noticed even early on training people here, because very similar to you, I got the one gym I was working at years ago filed bankruptcy. And so I left and
of course
started putting stuff in my garage. And it was crazy that the more basic I made the movements, the better results people got.
Yep.
And the other part that was kind of cool too is that I could literally say, well, this is different than all that other training you've ever done. So Yep. Don't worry about all your past failures because you haven't done this before.
Yeah.
And it was literally true, right? Because they hadn't played with tires, they hadn't played with stones, they had never seen a kettlebell. You know, and this is back 10 years ago, and that's even, you know, more rare than what it is now.
Yep.
And I think there's, for long-term goals, which we're talking about, I think there's something very nice to have a neurologic break from what they've done in the past.
Oh,
one
yeah.
thing I realized that I wanted to sort of instill in them is, don't worry about all the stuff you may not have succeeded at in the past. It literally doesn't matter, right? So we're just going to focus on this, get you to where your goals are. Yeah, the tools you use may be a little bit different. If for some odd reason you don't enjoy it, we'll do something else, which was rare. They're a little apprehensive about doing it, but you know, like you've seen, most people, once they do it, really enjoy it and figure out why they've never done it before.
Exactly.
So I found that the more basic that I made it, even just as we talked about increasing work capacity on lighter days, things of that nature. And then lately, so what I've been playing around with is static contraction training, so more rack work from Adam Glass. And what's fascinating about that is it's almost like the other end of the spectrum, right? So it's very heavy loads, short range of motion. And what I've started supplementing in a little bit during the week is how far can I go now on the other end of the spectrum, right? So maybe more light volume work, maybe even some stuff like blood flow restriction. So super low loads, but super high reps, very short periods of time.
Yep.
And so far, you know, seems to be working pretty well. And what I like about that is that, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, if to me, I think one of the greatest things is looking at the creation and the creative aspect of getting to your goals and then
Absolutely.
Just taking steps of doing that.
Yep.
Now, I don't know if this is going to transfer to my deadlift. I would assume at some point it has to.
Yep.
Right, so I believe that it will, but I haven't tested that yet. And I'm okay doing something, knowing that there's probably a lot of benefits to it, and maybe it'll work better for some things, maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be the greatest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I don't know.
Yep.
But I think trying to be flexible with the approach you're taking, as long as you can find a rational reason why it maps to your goals, I think that's what makes the entire journey then fun.
Yeah,
because if you don't enjoy the journey along the way, you're definitely not going to stay with it.
No, you're doomed, and you're doomed to fail. I'll tell you what, another thing that I've talked about on the shows, and I don't think you and I have ever talked about it, is a thing that I've really come up with a great way of doing, I call it one-sided training. And I did it mainly because I wanted to see how it would transfer to everything, especially stones. One of the greatest things I love to do is I'll go right a parallel position, and I use an Apollon axle just because I like the way it feels on the traps and everything as opposed to an Olympic bar, because it'll have a tendency to dig into your side of your neck way too much because of it, you know, the thinness of the bar. What I do is I'll load an Apollon axle and say I'm working the right side for that night. You'll have an arm in front and an arm in the back of you, and you'll use both legs. It's not a one-leg squat, and you'll come up on the right side for the number of reps you want to do with a loaded Apollon. It's incredible, the feeling. Then, and I'm a big believer in heavy, heavy dumbbells, especially with the stone work. That night, this is how I would do it. I always lead with squats no matter what I'm doing in a day. If I got a squat that day, it doesn't matter what I want to do. I think the squat sends the message. So I'd squat, and then we have that piece of apparatus I designed for the power rack where we can press any size dumbbell pretty much at any height in the power rack, and I'm talking doing a standing press with a 2-inch handle. After that's done, we go brace ourselves in a position against a keg, and we do one arm rows with a 2-inch handle. Now, due to the courtesy of Kenny Nowicki, he even sent me some big straps that fit the 2-inch bar. If I want to get really crazy with it, obviously I'll use straps. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, depending how heavy I want to go. Also, too, with that stuff, you know, you can build a partial any way you want. You can use, obviously, the bigger plates. I mean, if you're using 35s or 45s, you're not going to have a long pull, which if that's what you want to do. Or you can build your partials off stacking plates. So when you're doing it, and remember, this is only the right side. So I'm pressing on the right side, and I'm pulling on the right side. I'm going to tell you, man, your body will look like unfriggin' believable. And that's one of the big programs we're going to be putting out soon, too. This stuff works, man. And maybe it's nothing new. Maybe it's been around for the last 100 years. But I haven't seen anybody just stick to one side out there. So then the next time we're going to run that, obviously run it to the left side. You know, when Mike talks about creativity, whether you know it's been done or you've seen it done before, this is what happens when, you know, when you decide that, what are the real reasons why I lift? Why did I get into this? Why am I doing it for all these years? What am I getting out of it? What is it building for me? What is it teaching the others around me? Because it's very important, because if you have younger kids or you have nieces and nephews, they're going to see you do these things in one form or another, and they learn like that. And then obviously with the show, when you hear Mike and I talking, there's going to be a lot of people listening to this show that are going to say, hey, you know, I never thought of that. I'd like to try to do some of this stuff. You know, maybe I want to go to Iceland. Maybe I want to go to Scotland. Maybe I want to go to Wales. Maybe I want to go to Spain. Or maybe I just want to be the guy in the neighborhood that walks strong. And the other kids or whatever, they look up to me. And I can set and show them good ways to be strong. You know, instead of getting into trouble. Instead of, you know, just like sitting there and, as we always say, texting and eating bags of potato chips. If that's for you, go ahead and do it. But I'll say this, and I'll send it right back to Mike. I've said this a multitude of times, and I'm going to keep saying it. There isn't any one of us that don't have that gene, that trigger in us, that aren't going to want to do this. Because I'm sure Mike can tell you, with the people he's trained and the people I have, you know, they get a hold of a sandbag, they might be a little apprehensive at first because they've never been outside technically. They've been in a controlled gym. It's always a standard BS that gets you hurt, no gains, no weight loss, no nothing. You give up. It's human nature. But you know what I found? I've never seen anybody that didn't want to go further. The minute they got a taste of a sandbag and they started having some success, because you want to set everybody up realistically for success. Once that happens, they want to go bigger with them. And they want to go bigger. And the next thing they'll say to you, do you think I could lift that stone over there? And I'll know what size the stone is. And say they're using a 50-pound sandbag. And say the stone is 50 pounds. Now, it's going to be a different feel. They might not get it. They might get it. But what this all leads to is the next step, the next step. And I'm not saying everyone, but before you know it, they're going to want to start lifting that Hoosa steel crusher stone. So what I'm saying is the progression, the creativity is all coming at you at full speed, blinding speed. Jump on that thing, man. Jump on it and stay on it and stay with it the rest of your life. It's all yours, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think about just exposing people, like you said, to different things. You know, so one of the things I'll have people do sometimes is shovel deadlift.
Oh, yeah.
Shovel deadlift is basically a conventional deadlift, but you'll kind of slightly overload one side more than the other side. So, yep. For example, if I have a lifter who, let's say their left leg and kind of left side, maybe their right obliques are weaker, and one of their goals is to deadlift a heavier weight,
So
on a later day, I may have them overload the left side by just 25 pounds.
Exactly.
And the amount of crazy looks people get in the gym for doing that is like, well, you forgot to load the other side, right? And so different, like the first time I was exposed to any of this stuff was probably 13 years ago at Josh Henkin's garage in Arizona.
Sure.
So I went down there for a conference. Like Steve Cotter was there doing some kettlebell stuff. You know, Josh had zones, tires, sledgehammers, kettlebells, and had it all in his garage. And I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I've kind of heard about some of this stuff a little bit, but I'd never, you know, seen it or had the opportunity to use it. And same thing you said, once you once you try it, you're like, oh,
yep. That's
kind of fun. And, you know, at the time, my deadlift wasn't great, but I remember trying 115-pound stone, and I couldn't even get it off the ground like an inch.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, well, what the hell? Like, I don't know, my deadlift at that time was probably only like 275 or something. But I'm like, but I can deadlift way more than this. How come I can't pick up this stupid stone?
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
And so even just those things, while I didn't do much with that until several years later, I think I can trace everything back to that exposure and at least having that as an idea. So when I started getting more equipment for my garage, I was like, oh, now I, you know, got more into stones and tires and things of that nature, which at that time was probably almost 6 years later. But I think it was that first exposure and just kind of having that marinate in your head for quite a while that it could kind of, you never know when it'll show up in someone's training program.
Oh, without a doubt. And not only that, like I said, it does touch something off in you. And you're going to have to either go at it yourself or find somebody like Mike or myself that have gotten into this stuff very seriously. You know, the thing people got to realize, and I can't stress this enough, and I know it's very hard, especially for humans today in this ultra-speedy world we live in, and we want everything now. But here's the fact of the matter. This stuff is not going to come fast. It's not going to come easy either, because this stuff is some of the harshest things you can even dabble into in the world of physical culture. But it is also the most result-producing stuff you'll ever get into. And the thing I appreciate more about this than anything is this. How many things can you take? All right, let's say you can clean a 300-pound sandbag and bear hug it and walk it. How many things can you really take and say you start somebody out and you maybe start them out with a 30 or 40-pound sandbag? There is not a hell of a lot of stuff out there that is like that, okay? What I love about all this style of training with the sandbags and stones, it can be plugged into any degree and any ability a human being has. There are not many things out there that are like that, man. I mean, this stuff will make you the best version of you you can ever imagine. And we're going to, I know what we've done here, Mike. I mean, I get video from people. They're putting them up all the time. You know, we've got my nephew with the sandbags, my niece with the sandbags. I mean, you're talking a 9 and a 7-year-old, Charlie Oliphant's son who's 7. I mean, this kid's lifting small, round spheres now. We've got a few other people. We got our good friend John Patrick. His two daughters are 5 years old, picking up stones and walking them for distance. We got our good friend Kelly Johnson, who does most of my work here on the website. Well, she does all of it now. She's got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they're sandbags. So what I'm saying is we are really spreading the revolution here. And I will take this to my grave that I think and I know if you give these two components a shot, I mean a real legitimate shot, go after it, and I'm talking sandbags and eventually gravitating the stonework, you can be anything you want to be. Now, I totally agree with Mike too. I mean, you know, you come to me, it's not only going to be that, we're going to make our living in the power rack too. Because I'm telling you right now, if you, let's just say you've got a little bit of training under your belt, let me put it that way. If you gave 5 years of rack training and stone and sandbags, I know you got to have endurance and all that, but we can do plenty of endurance with a stone and sandbag just walking, all right? You're going to be a brutal, brutal individual, man, woman, child. I'll tell you right now, I'd put my reputation on it totally, and I don't say that lightly. You would be just domination every which way and form. So think about that. I just think, you know, when I talk about the reasons why, this is why. To, like Mike said in the beginning, creativity, number one. Number two is the ability to overcome. Number three is the ability to tell yourself, I will not be ignored. Seriously. Number four, just think of the strength and power you're building. And number five, you know, if we even throw a little tire work in there, I think the tire alone could be one of the most enduring things you could ever do for your body. You know, we get into the sledgehammer, obviously, is probably the top three with stuff like that, with the sandbags and stones. But just think about, if you work all those movements, whether you're pulling them in and out of whatever phase you're in, running them together on different days, and I love, and Mike, next time we get on, I'm going to talk about my dead stop squat work with the sandbags, which you'll find very interesting, because it's not 1, 2, 3, 4 with it. It's 1, 1. So we'll get into more of that. Comment on anything, Mike. Summarize anything. And we'll get ready for, you know, give out your info. I'll give mine. Hang on, and we'll get ready for next month.
Yeah, I think my bias is having a goal where you want to go, and not necessarily a timeline, so more of an intention. And then just going back from there to figure out, okay, what are the things I'm going to do that are going to get me to where I want to go? And as we talked about, trying to be a little bit more creative with that. And if you're, you know, stuck, obviously ask for help. There's, you know, we can help you out. There's plenty of people that can help point you in a direction. And then just, you know, run the experiment. Say, I'm going to take 6, 8 weeks, whatever time period. I'm going to work on this aspect, and I'm going to see what I find. You know, at the end of it, hey, I either learned something and it worked well, or
right,
that didn't work. You know, if your goals and intentions are more on the year to possibly decade length, a couple of weeks, really not that big of a deal. I think that's much more preferential instead of trying to do 5 different things in the next 4 weeks, and then you find out it's kind of a mess, and at the end of it, you learn that, well, maybe I didn't need all of those things. Right, so keep it simple, keep it moving, and I think you'll enjoy the journey and the process at the same time.
Yeah, without a doubt. What else you got, Mike?
I think that's it. If people want just a template program of some of the stuff I do, they can just go to miketnelson.com/muscle, and it's a complete program that includes training, nutrition, some lifestyle components. Or they can just text the word muscle to 44222.
Awesome. It'll be interesting, too. If you want to get into it next time, we'll talk a little static holds.
That'd be
awesome. And we'll bring up, too, I'll talk about the dead stop stuff I'm doing with the sandbags. Today is obviously going to be the Hoosa Steel Stones. Today's going to be some big stuff out of the rack. Within the next hour and 15, I'll be out doing that with some sandbags. Going to be very interesting. We'll see how the strength is, if it's where I want it to be. You know, might only go a 115 to a 118-pound sandbag, see if we can drive that right overhead. We'll go from there. But I really am going to pull some big iron out of the rack today with the Hoosa Steel Original. So I'm really going to devote my energies into that. And like we said, we'll use the lighter ones to come out and really, really pump the body. And you know, I love using that word. John Bruni uses it a lot. Basically set your central nervous on fire, meaning I want to set my brain on fire when I'm out there. Like they said in The Hulk in 2008, which was my favorite movie with Liv Tyler and what the heck was his name? I can't think of his name, who played the Hulk. It'll come to me at some point. But I remember when she asked him, what does it feel like? And he says, it feels like they're pouring battery acid on my brain when I change into the Hulk. That's what I want to feel today, like someone's pouring battery acid on my brain, and it just makes me erupt. That is the essence of my lifting. I love it. The only way it's going to leave me is the day I die, and I'm going to take everything with me wherever I go next. I don't believe it'll ever go out of my bones, my DNA, or my blood, no matter what I become in the next life. If I had my choice for the next life, I've always wanted to be a great white shark. I'm in love with great white sharks. The whole evolution of them, and when you think about it, you know, let's forget about the attacks all over. That's not even what I'm talking about. The idea that something that marvelous, something the length of a school bus, literally, can be found in the ocean, that really all they do is eat, swim, and make little ones. That ain't a bad life, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, they've been hunted like crazy, but I'm just talking from the context of something very big, very evolved, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, think about wouldn't it be nice if Mike and I and everybody could be around for thousands of years? Unfortunately, in our bodies, we aren't. But I admire that. I admire strength. I admire longevity. And I think it is something we should all subscribe to. So, Mike, if there's anything else, give it. If not, I will go into the end of the show, please.
No, that's perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Anytime. Really, it's always an honor to have you on. Before I do all the stuff to sign off, I almost forgot this, and I do not want to forget it. I was telling Mike, Chris Vaccio was on the other day, who's an outstanding guy. You know, strong man, everything. And Chris is the main guy for the disabled strongman here in the United States. So I told him I would read about his meet coming up. It's called America's Strongest Disabled Athlete, the official USA qualifier for World's Strongest Disabled Man. It's May 13th, 2017. Starts at 10 a.m. It's in Columbus, Ohio, at the Ohio Expo Center. In the Ohio building, Strongman Corporation sanctioned competition runs alongside of it. The entries are accepted until May 5th. So if you got it and want to get in it, you've got till May 5th, ladies and gentlemen. And as I was telling Mike before we came on, I don't know if it's been 2 or 3 years, but I think Chris told me they had 6 contestants then. They're up to 23 right now, and they have 3 women for the first time. Congratulations, Chris. Great job, and we're very, very happy for you and for all the disabled men and women who are going into one of the finest sports ever, World's Strongest Disabled Man. Congratulations. All right, this is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. and check out our 2 brand new products. Winner's Circle was called that mainly because I feel anybody that's dabbling in any of this stuff and going into physical culture, this is what you are. You're a winner. And winners love winners. And I always say this, us as winners have the responsibility to get more people in. I always say, join the revolution, join the family. I mean it. So go out and check out those 12 audios. It's all digital. You can download it. It's a piece of cake, and it is awesome stuff that I'm going to keep building on. I don't know. If I get going at a real clip, I could end up probably putting 5 more out, like in a shot. It's just going to keep growing and growing. And I'm going to tell everybody like this. I haven't talked to Mike about it or anybody, but I'm going to be talking to a lot of our guests here. We're in the process right now of building a video vault. And I'm going to get more into this as we get more and more built with this thing. But this is also going to coincide with the Winner's Circle, our other product, which is called Etched in Stone, which goes after the late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60-year-old men who are finding a lot of problems, you know, whether it's high levels of estrogen, which it can be always connected with. Let's face it, big bellies, tires, as they call it, all that thing. Obviously, too, the adrenals are very involved, and Steven Santangelo and I just did a big show, part 1 on the adrenals. Part 2 is coming within 10 days. I put it up the other day. It is absolutely incredible, that show. Everybody should check that out. But with Etched, you know, as I said in the beginning, you know, Dr. William Wong, Dr. Jeffrey Smith, Dory Peterson, who's an RN, you know, Dale Dugas, as I said, Steven Santangelo, it goes on and on. We have the best people in the business here, and I did not want to get into any of that stuff anymore. I wanted mainly to do the training. Sandbags, as you heard us today, they will change your life forever, and you will go into stones. And I'm telling you right now, men, you will be men again. You will get rid of that old, creaky body that just doesn't do it for you anymore. You can't think straight. You know, you're very melancholy. You just don't have it anymore. You can't lead. Who wants to be that age, that young of a man, and be like that? It's not the way men are supposed to be. And it goes for women, because after this, we're going into Etched in Stone for Women. We already have stuff written for kids. We are going to make this one of the biggest things you've ever seen in strength. So stay tuned for it. We're committed to you and everything about it. Jump on. You'll always get support here. And we have more than enough of our family of guests here that I'm sure would lend anything if I reached out to them to help you. So don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Invest the money on yourself. The hell with the car. The hell with the $800 iPhone. I said this before. Health is paramount with everything. If you don't have health, you do nothing else. And if you want to sit around and go to doctors day after day, pill after pill, and really not getting anywhere, you know, this is the way you need to go. You need to naturally fix yourself, unless there's something that is so bad that needs that kind of assistance. And I would never tell you not to go and see a doctor before you start anything we do here. But I'm telling you right now, we will work with your doctor. It doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do, we want to help you out. So go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check those two products out. MotivationandMuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said, look at the shows Mike and I have already done. We've got another show with Mike done. We'll have another show. And as I said, I hope Mike and everybody else will be around here for the next 30 years, because it ought to be quite intriguing, let me tell you. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us the 5-star review. That's what we've got, and I thank everybody for that. Also, go out to AHA directory. That's called AHA. You can get Motivation Muscle 24/7 in your car. If there's a show you'd like Mike and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. If there's any questions, for some reason you can't get a hold of Mike, send him here and I'll make sure he gets them. I'll forward everything. So there's no way you can't get in touch with either one of us. Also, too, we are getting ready to go on a blitzing advertising campaign for the company to generate income, obviously. So that's coming as soon as we can do it. We are preliminary looking at different plugins through WordPress, but we are going after an awful lot of people. And as I told you, last month was our biggest month ever for podcasts. And we're very close to breaking that record right now. We've got, 4 days technically with the 27th. So we'll see what happens, because we were down for a few days. We had some problems with the people that house our content, and I couldn't put any up. So I don't know if that's going to hurt, help, or whatever. Doesn't matter. We'll get in May and blow another big one up. That's the way we think around here. I'll leave you with a whole host of things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Like me, if you're going to bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, squat it, if you're going to lift stones, sandbags, turn them into dust, and as a great Hoose of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. And no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I hear your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That's what it's about, my friend. Manliness, lead, and be kind to people. Show them the way. You don't have to force them to do anything, and you don't have to put them down. And there's just too much of the put down around for my taste. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest business professor in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My father, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, used to say to every patient he walked to the door, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself and not smile. John was a man's man, and I miss John big time, let me tell you. Salt of the earth, let me tell you for sure. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends about M&M because we're too big now to be ignored. We won't knock on your door. We'll put our foot through it. Join the revolution. Join the family. I promise you the next 30 years of your life is going to be outstanding. Also, Les Brown said you all have greatness. We take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And we are not ordinary. We are all extraordinary. Mike Nelson, thank you for being on, sir. It's always an honor, and your input is always very much appreciated, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Really you are welcome,
it.
Sir. So for Mike T. Nelson, Eric Fiorello, we will have Mike on. If you can believe it, it's going to be May. I can't believe it. Next month, all I can say is, what's today, Thursday? You got four more days in the week to do something magnificent. Do it. And then you got the rest of your life. So, the world is asking you to do something. Don't let the world down because you all have something to contribute. And don't let others tell you that what you say is meaningless because it does have meaning. Have a great week, everyone. And we will talk to you soon. And stay strong.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.